todolisthome.com. Welcome, I'm your host Tony Teolis, and we're keeping track of things to do for a better life. Today is April 7, 2012. This is episode 73 of the To Do List Home podcast. To be or not to be's, coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is I Like It, very fitting for today's topic, by Enrique Iglesias, recorded on I Like It from 2010. Watch and have a listen through the links that can be found in the show notes. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance, retiring at age 55 or younger, and thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or even if they don't. Todolisthome.com is your stop for learning things to help make life better. We save you money and time. Connect with us. Listen to us on iTunes and podcasts. Watch the To Do List Home videos on YouTube channel Tokyo73. Follow us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook. Learn about all the things that are going on here at the homestead. Links to all of these sites are at todolisthome.com. You'll find files that you can download for your to-do list. Share your to-do list ideas with us. Our home projects and endeavors for making a better life become stories of how we put past experiences and research together to present you home, work, and life projects with a purpose. It should always be important why we are doing the things we do, especially if we're trying to make a better life. On our to-do list today is to be or not to bees. To be a beekeeper at this time in my life, for me, is the natural and right thing to do. It's part of the things that I want to do to make my life better, and I explained as much in episode 72. Beekeeping for Dummies and Backyard Beekeeper, when I started to read them a couple of years ago, really got me excited to want to know more. It was like reading books about the Apollo space program when I was in grade school. I've been thinking about beekeeping for 2 years, and I started it last year. I had some gardening skills and experience under my belt, and I started to be a little bit of a producer of fruits and vegetables around the yards, and beekeeping seemed like the logical step to get bigger and better fruit. Even though the bees forage over a 8,000-acre or 2-square-mile area, I can still find many bees, many honeybees, I believe they're my honeybees, around my yard. I don't use pesticides, and I have dandelions and clover and a lot of plants in the ground already, and I got flowers and tulips, and I see the bees quite a bit. I'm pretty sure they're mine for the most part. I also wanted to be a part of the bigger picture of trying to help these animals that are quite close to being threatened, to the edge of not being able to sustain themselves in nature as they used to be able to. Some things are changing for the positive in that aspect, and I like to be a part of it. The amount of knowledge I now have compared to 2 years ago, and how the confusion that I've found for trying to learn all the things to be a good beekeeper have been tempered through a more natural and observant method of watching the bees and interacting with them only as they need me to. I wanted to also see if I could actually get a little honey harvest. I thought with all the fruits and vegetables that I try to grow around here, why not add something really special to the production list? The benefits for me of being with the bees, of observing their efforts and realizing how little I do compared to them, it's just wonderful feeling. They are hard workers, they're non-union, and they're working towards the procreation of a colony. Another benefit of being a beekeeper is the apitherapy, and that is the use of bee products like pollen and propolis and honey for treating health disorders. In fact, it is believed that even bee stings can be used to ease arthritis pain. I can't attest to that because bee stings hurt when they happen, but over time they do get less painful with frequency. Although I do have to remember to remove my wedding ring before I do any inspections or get close to the beehives, especially now that we'll be seeing if we can harvest some honey from them, and they'll be pretty protective of that and need to make sure I don't lose my finger by taking off my wedding ring. Even with this great list of benefits, I also have to bring up the point of whether not to bees. After I realized the honeybees came through the winter swimmingly well, I didn't need to question whether or not I would continue with the current hive, but whether or not I would add more bees. And I came across some interesting information from Rusty at honeybeesuite.com. She helps to keep beekeepers calm in the midst of all the advice out there. She has an article put together about why beekeepers quit after a while, and in fact, she states that 80% of new beekeepers quit within the first 2 years. That's a huge number, and I can understand why that would occur with a fair number of people. First, bees die. There are at least 28 different major bee ailments that can overcome and kill a colony of bees. These include American foul brood, European foul brood, Nosema, chalk brood, sack brood, stone brood, and there are many more. Additionally, there are pests out there such as varroa mites and tracheal mites and small hive beetle, wax moss, ants, bears, raccoons, skunks, mice, and birds. Some people quit after a while when they realize they're not getting any honey. For many people, beekeeping is harder than they anticipated. It isn't for people with light mobility. You have to be pretty strong moving some of this equipment around. You need some assistance doing it. It's more expensive than anticipated. I can vouch to that. The equipment and the things that you need to do to maintain good management are not cheap. There's time that's required to get to know your bees. And you have to raise certain sacrifices in the way that you carry out your other duties in your life to make sure that you can fit that in as well. And you need to learn and be prepared for eventualities. And finding answers is not always clear cut. It's rather quite difficult, you know, if you have a situation and then trying to figure out what to do. There are resources, but there's also 100 different opinions about what you should do for any given instance. Now, that's an exaggeration, of course. What's not an exaggeration is that there's little or no profit in beekeeping, and your neighbors can get noisy. You don't want that to happen. That can certainly put a downer on your family's support of what you're doing, as well as being able to do it where you live. Insurance can sometimes be an issue. With all these things, it's easy to understand why there aren't more beekeepers. And for me, trying to be associated with local beekeepers is rather difficult because I can't really make it to the Tuesday 8 o'clock in the evening meetings that are about 5 or 10 miles from my home. But it would be nice if there were people within the more local neighborhood. And with this list of the difficulties of being a beekeeper, it probably keeps many people away. Most people don't like to try something that's as difficult as I just described. What I'm planning for is more bees and honey. In face of all the difficulties, I've got enough positive feedback from the bees to continue moving forward. And to add to that, with all of the new perennial plants I will have in the ground in another 5 weeks, having more bees seemed the only appropriate thing to do. We'll be planting, this will be a family effort, there's a lot coming in. There's blueberry and elderberry and blackberry, more blackberry, raspberry, more asparagus, in addition to all the plants that are already growing. You can go to todolisthome.com website to take a look at the list of all the plantings for the spring. On that list, I show when we started to sow and transplant these different plants, and you can feel free to adjust them for where you live according to your last spring frost date. Having two hives will also allow for easier ways to address problems through brood sharing or queen raising. Having two hives could be twice as much fun. And if the first hive dies or swarms, I don't lose everything. Honey harvest plans have been implemented already. I checkerboarded the hive in early March, and for checkerboarding, that means I took the solid band of two medium supers of honey that were above the two deep brood chambers, and I alternated each of the supers with empty and full frames of honey. You can go to todolisthome.com, and I have a link to all of the different bee episodes. And the bee episode in the one that I'm referring to is episode 59, recorded on March 10th, Checkerboard Honey Beehive for Swarm Prevention and Growth, and hopefully greater honey production. I also added more honey supers. I'm not doing any medication right now for diseases or pests because I don't see the need to. You can see some of the natural precautions I've taken in the videos and episodes located in the show notes at todolisthome.com. And as the old adage says, in for a penny, in for a pound, which means I've gotten this far into beekeeping, so I might as well stick with it while I can and while the bees want to. I have things in place to let them live well. I have a large sugar supply and other necessities, so I might as well help them produce. And before I close, I want to make sure that it's understood none of these things could be possible without the resources that I've had to help me out, and not just, you know, company names and websites, but the people behind these companies have been really good. I get the bees, queens, and the colony from Walter T. Kelly Bees or kellybees.com. They're very great people to talk to on a telephone. The equipment comes from brushymountainbeefarm.com. And again, having the questions and concerns and the making sure I order the right type of equipment and, you know, being able to speak to somebody friendly, Brushy Mountain Bee Farm is really great. The people who respond to your questions and concerns at the Bee Source Forum are really great, although the amount of advice you can get varies. I should say not the amount of advice, but the advice you do get for a particular problem varies across the board, and you're left trying to figure out where you can go. But the two places that I found to provide, you know, kind of a calm in the middle of the storm attitude about beekeeping and to help me are Rusty at honeybeesuite.com. And this is Michael Bush at bushbees.com, and I have links to their fine websites in today's show notes. I write to these people directly sometimes, and the responses are immediate and friendly and don't make you feel intimidated about asking the kinds of questions that are on your mind with this complicated subject. And I've also am expanding some of the information here to the other website that we manage that's just for permaculture and gardening, and that's growmorenow.com, and putting some information and linking to the same information there will help people who are only interested in this kind of subject and just the farming and permaculture aspect of what to do for a productive life and a better life. And when I think of the knowledge I've gained and shared with others, especially my family, over the past year, it has not been an expensive investment for me. Although everyone seems to be waiting to see if I can actually harvest some honey, many things remain to be seen, and I'll keep posting about them. That's all for today. Now go and be useful.